Epic Productions presents Raven's Court, Volume 2. Created by David Horgan. Warning. The following content contains strong language and subject matter that some listeners may find distressing. Part 1. None of us really changes over time. We only become more fully what we are. Anne Rice.
August 25th, 1996. Today was my first day of my internship at Raven's Court, the most prestigious mental health facility in the country. Hopefully tomorrow's entry isn't revealing that it was also my last day. Fingers crossed, I look back at this entry and smile in 5 years' time when I'm running the place. Well, maybe 10 years. Either way, it's worth getting these thoughts down. Even if I do feel a little. Dear Diary, I'm 13 and Jen O'Sullivan has tits and I don't. Journaling is supposed to be relaxing. Good for the mind. For some reason, I can't sleep. Usually I can't keep my eyes open after 10 p.m. but tonight, I'm up past the witching hour. Haven't felt this wired since I took you-know-what at Sinead's 21st. I just hope I haven't caught insomnia from the patients. Early start tomorrow, can't be groggy. Maybe I'll get a few cans for tomorrow night now to unwind. Oh, should have gotten a bottle of Prosecco to celebrate my first day. Kinda sad drinking it by myself. I don't want to start that habit. Like mother, like daughter. Jesus, half the people in there would probably be fine if they laid off the booze. Hello, alcohol makes your meds not work. Cop on, people. The staff aren't bad. Dr. Kennedy is pretty cute, but I'm not under him, unfortunately. Oh, I'm stuck with Dr. Marsh. He's not bad, he just reminds me of that teacher in secondary school. The one who'd look a little too long. Anyway, day one, shitting a brick. They showed us around, gave us the do's and don'ts. I got this. At least I won't get lost tomorrow. I can't stop thinking about the walls of the place. Every time I close my eyes, I see the corridors flashing by me. Like when you're a kid and you press your fingers against your eyes and you see those fuzzy tunnels. Weird. Must be adrenaline. Anyway, pen down. Time to go to sleep. Sweet dreams. I hope. August 30th, 1996. I wish I could find someone who looks at me the way Katie looks at Tim. She loves him so much. He doesn't deserve her. Oh, that's mean. He does. But I deserve a sister-in-law like her more, so I hope he doesn't fuck this up. She's a keeper. And he'll be a lot easier to put up with if she's part of the package. God, it's a sad state of affairs if I'm writing about someone else's love life in my diary. And the really great news is that they're putting me on nights. So now I've an even better chance of meeting Mr. Wright. If Mr. Wright is an insomniac or vampire or a member of the night staff. And I think I'd rather be locked up alone with a bunch of vampires rather than the night staff. Oh, Dr. Marsh would give Dracula a chill up his spine. And Dracula only had 3 brides. Marsh seems to have the whole nursing staff under his spell. Oh, the way they fawn over him. Ugh. I'm not afraid of him. Or them. This isn't the job for you if you're afraid of people. It's Raven's Court itself that gives me the chills. Not because I'm worried about things going bump in the night. It's the opposite. When the morning comes, I want to stay. I feel awake. And it's not until I come home that I feel tired. And if I didn't have to come back to feed Ghost, I probably would request double shifts. Maybe it's just the vigor of youth. Or maybe I just want to prove to Marsh that I can take it. The way he looks at me, thinking I'm less than him. I can do without my beauty sleep for a few weeks. Bags under my eyes are a small price to pay for showing him. Of course, I've got to remember that he isn't going home and writing in his diary about me. He's probably hanging upside down in his bat tower. I need to just take care of myself and get a hobby. Get more cats. Occupy my mind. Don't bring my work home with me. Ravenscourt doesn't think about me when I leave. At least, I really hope it doesn't. September 2nd, 1996. I nearly killed a man today. Not even a man, he's just 19. A boy. Owen. At first I was just so delighted that he was talking to me. He'd just been sitting there in silence since I got there. And when he wasn't sitting there quietly in his own private hell, he'd go off and cry quietly. He's one of the good ones. Not like some of the psychos who throw their craziness in your face. They know enough to know how to antagonize you. Anyway, all he asked for was a glass of orange juice. It's not like he asked for a box of razor blades. I know he didn't trick me into letting him hurt himself. He was just thirsty. Of course he was. He's anorexic. They drilled it into us about the diets. I mean, God forbid you give someone who's gluten intolerant and on 40 milligrams of olanzapine a piece of bread. It might make them puffy. So I knew he wasn't diabetic. But his fucking blood sugar spiked after the orange juice. He was lucky that Dr. Marsh was just doing his rounds. Not lucky for me, though. He fucking chewed me out of it in front of everyone, and I just had to stand there and take it. None of the others stood up for me. They were just glad it wasn't happening to them. I don't think I would have spoken up either, but I just wish one of them had. The patients, the ones who know what's going on, just felt sorry for me. You know you fucked up when a bunch of mental patients feel sorry for you. That's a horrible thing to say. Look, I'm just pissed off. Owen is okay, and that's the most important thing. Dr. Marsh wants to see me in his office before I start my shift. Oh, I hope he's not going to put a note in my file. Maybe I should bring him a glass of orange juice and a pint of garlic and a stake through his heart. Finding it hard to sleep during the day. The sun burns my eyes. No matter how hard I try to black it out, it bleeds through, draining me. And I keep having these weird, vivid dreams. I'm in a room that I can't get out of, or I don't want to, I'm not sure. And there's this window that I can't see out of, a dark window. And there's no reflection. I can't see myself. Just a feeling, that dream logic of knowing if I stand there long enough, I'll see what's on the other side. But at what cost? If the thing on the other side of the dark window turns out to be Dr. Marsh, then they'll have to lock me up in Ravenscourt. You're losing it, Lily. I don't even know what day it is. I live by night. And every night is the same. Except this one. He put his hand on my leg. On my thigh. And left it there. I should have slapped him across the face or stood up and screamed. It would have been humiliating. I would have lost my job. Everyone would stare and whisper, call me a liar. I'd feel terrible, but at least I wouldn't feel like this. Turning the guilt over and over in my head like Mala. Maybe it's my fault. I let him keep touching me. His hand moved and I didn't stop him. I mean, I didn't want him to, but I didn't burst into tears. I just froze. So he kept going, rubbing his stiff little fingers on my skin. I wish I hadn't shaved my legs. Maybe he thought I'd shave them for him to see because I knew he'd call me into his office. But I didn't. It was just for me. Not for a dirty old man to... I wish I had tiny little hairs that cut his fingertips like knives. I wish I could cut him with a real bloody knife. What am I gonna do? Let this snake bring me back down the career board and go back to the bottom. He's not a vampire. He's worse. He's a man. What if I get transferred? I won't let him take this place away from me. I've worked too hard. Raven's Court needs me. I can feel it. It saw what he did to me. He'll get his. He'll get his. This place has a way of taking care of itself. It'll take care of me too. I know it. And I'll give it anything it wants. Anything. September 22nd, 1996. 11:11 p.m. I just had the strangest dream. Even though I thought I just got home, it's weird trying to sleep during the day. You wake up and your dreams don't feel like dreams. They feel like you've forgotten memories or deja vu. But this was a nightmare. It had to be. Ever since I started at Raven's Court, my dreams have been more vivid. But this felt like something else entirely. I was at Raven's Court. It was night, of course. It would have been too cliche if there was also a thunderstorm. But I think in this dream, the outside world didn't exist. I got called in on my night off to watch Owen. He was after having a bad visit to his mother's house and he tried to overdose. Something about his mum not giving his ex-girlfriend a letter. Like, I'm not sure how I knew all that, but it was a dream. You just know things. You don't question it. And I had to watch him. Make sure he didn't try anything else. Dr. Marsh was there, of course. He was checking in on a golf buddy who was hidden behind a curtain. It's a broken leg or something. Doesn't make any sense. He wouldn't be on our ward for a fracture. Marsh made some crack about Owen being a lucky guy having me watching over him all night. Owen called him a creep after he left. And that made me smile. I was so tired. Barely staying awake. And Owen was complaining about not being able to sleep. He asked could he have something to help him drift off. I told him he'd taken enough pills for one night. That shut him up. Dream Lily is a real bitch. I feel so horrible for saying that. Even though I didn't. It was just a dream. Then things started getting weird. My watch stopped working and so did the clock in the room. Everything was frozen at 2:22 a.m. The angel's number. I asked the golf guy behind the curtain if he had the real time. He didn't answer. I assumed he was asleep. I was wrong. In the dream, we hadn't heard anything from the outside world in a while. No signs of life in the corridor. I couldn't even see anything. It seemed like the lights were off. Owen wanted me to go check. I told him I wasn't letting him out of my sight. I told him to press the call button. He said he had been since the clock stopped. No one was coming. I called to the golf guy again to try his call button. He still didn't answer. I slowly approached the curtain to pull it back. There wasn't any crack of thunder or staccato violins, just the pounding of my heart in my chest, and I pulled back the curtain and screamed. Someone, something knocked me to the ground and ran out the door into the blackness. I went to check on Owen. He seemed concerned about his own safety for the first time in weeks. He asked if I was okay. I was. Luckily, nightmares don't last long enough for bruises to form. At least that's what I used to think. He whispered for me to come closer. I leaned in. He said the monster was under his bed. The look on his face. The paleness of his skin was more terrifying than the darkness surrounding us. I crouched down to check. I lifted up the sheet. Owen was laying under the bed on his stomach, sweating and terrified. He whispered to me, "The monster is in my bed." Then I woke up. Crazy. And what's even crazier is that I now have bruises on my knee and elbow. I must have just banged them in my sleep. Either that or... I'm afraid to go back to sleep. They say working nights is tough. But it feels like it's the daylight that's chewing me up and spitting me out. My body feels strange. Ravenscourt is changing me. The question is, into what? And why can't it do it faster? October 10th, 10 a.m. Goodbye. My name is Lily. My mother is an alcoholic. My father is anonymous, and my brother Timothy is a sad shadow. I want to drink, and then another drink. I want to drink until this hole inside me is filled. This thirst. I know it won't help. I know I'll feel bad. I know that if I start, I won't stop. But I just love the taste. when it touches my lips. Everything clicks like jazz. It's better than coming. I'm dead inside, but who cares? Ghost is afraid of me. He won't sit on my lap anymore. And Boda thinks that I'm insane. We're all insane. We're just bags of meat and water dreaming that we are real. White lies making up a spectrum of untruths. But water isn't just water. There are chemicals in it. Chemicals that make us feel. Water is too easy. Too pure. My chemicals used to make me want to be alone. Need to be alone. But now my chemicals make me want iron. I need blood. I am an addict. You want to know about the new Lily? Who she is? What she is? Why is she the way she is? The real question. Where she is? I'm hiding. And I won't come out until it's time. But in the meantime, I need something to eat. I'm so hungry. Here, kitty, 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 kitty. October 13th, 1:04 a.m. I haven't slept in days. The eyes are watching me. They saw what I did to Ghost. What I am becoming. I'm so scared. And grateful. I am blessed. October 15th, 11:33 p.m. I now know what's on the other side of the dark window. Nothing. I can't see it, but it sees me. I don't know what it is. All I know is that it has eyes, and they are... ...12:04 a.m. I am ready. Ready to burn brighter than the sun. The eyes are watching me. Goodbye.
Raven's Court Volume 2 stars Irene Kelleher as Lily, Lorcan O'Neill as Tim, and Claire Loy as Katie. Narration by Sean McGarrett. Written and directed by David Horgan. Produced and edited by Epic Productions. Distributed by Cornucopia Radio.